welcome to episode 7 of Daisified. Today I will be talking about the depiction of women in Indian media and also a little bit about intersectional feminism. Growing up in India, I observed the stark differences between how men and women are portrayed in Indian media. Women are often shown to be traditional, submissive, obedient, especially in Hindi TV serials, while men are shown to be careerists. Women are often depicted as housewives, and I feel like a lot of girls growing up in India get impacted by this. One particular show, Kyunki Saas Bhi Kabhi Bahu Thi, explores the mother-in-law and daughter-in-law relationship. The daughter-in-law is disrespected and taught to accept being talked down to and yelled at. And the name of this show, Kyunki Saas Bhi Kabhi Bahu Thi, is literally translates to because the mother-in-law was once a daughter-in-law. And the irony of that is not lost on me. Another Hindi soap opera called Saath Nibhana Sathiya has the daughter-in-law named as Gopi Bahu and the son-in-law named Ahemji. This translates to, in her name, Gopi Bahu, it basically means that her name is Gopi and that she's a daughter-in-law, while the son-in-law is named G, which is a form of respect in South Asia. When you call someone G, it's like you are respecting them. So I find that naming characters like this creates regressive tropes where the son-in-law demands more respect just because he is a man. One of my Malaysian friends asked me a few years ago why India is not a safe country for women. Having grown up in Delhi and Mumbai, I can say with confidence that upbringing is a significant factor. So it doesn't really matter what a lot of the times people would say that certain parts of the country are unsafe for women, but I would say that while that is true, also the other defining factor is upbringing. In many South Asian families, parents favor the male child, putting more of an emphasis on his education and career path. And when it comes to raising girls, often they are relegated to kitchen duties and more focus is placed on their physical appearance and upcoming marriage, with less importance given to their studies and their career aspirations. A lot of the time when I meet people who've grown up in South Asia and they have a brother or sister, they notice the stark differences in the way that the girl child is treated as opposed to the boy child. And it's really interesting because often I would find that when for example, if there's a brother and a sister in a family and then they have guests over, the men in the family along with the guests are usually out in the living room chatting, eating, drinking, that kind of thing, while the girl is relegated to kitchen duties and she would be helping her mom cook and serve the guests. These gender roles are problematic. I have met many South Asian men who like cooking, and I have many South Asian women in my life who are slaying it in their careers and probably would have been happier without children. Media, society, and extended families all have an impact on the career path of young children. In India, arranged marriages are quite common, and parents, when they are picking a suitable match for their sons, are quite notorious for making comments like, "We want a girl who will keep the whole family together." Bro, you want a girl in her 20s to heal the generational dysfunction of the whole family. You need a therapist, not a daughter-in-law. I also noticed the prevalence of colorism. It involves the belief that lighter skin is more desirable or superior to darker skin, leading to biases in areas like employment, marriage, education, and social status. Colorism in India has historical roots, stemming from the caste system and colonialism, where fair skin became associated with higher social status and privilege. I still remember an advertisement for this cream called Fair and Lovely. It's a skin lightening cream. The ad chronicles a woman who gets rejected from every job that she applies to just based on her dark complexion. And then she's really sad about it. Then there's also a moment after all of this happens, there's a moment when her father says, "I wish we had a son instead." Then she buys the cream, becomes light-skinned in a matter of weeks, and lands a job as a flight attendant. And then her parents are really happy with her. As if, okay, now that she's light-skinned, there is some value in her. There are so many problems with this commercial, and you can see how this affects the mental health of girls during their early childhood. Girls who grow up believing that they are ugly just because they are not light-skinned. Then it brings me to movies. There was a recent movie that came out called Animal, and I particularly hate movies like Animal because it glorifies gaslighting and violence towards women. Javed Akhtar put it quite succinctly in a video a few months ago. For those people who don't know, he is a lyricist in India. He's quite renowned, and he comes from a family of artists. So when Javed Akhtar said that when a film like Animal does well, it speaks volumes about the society we live in. When Indians are going in droves to watch the film and enjoying it, there is a larger problem at hand, that of toxic masculinity. It shouldn't be acceptable for men to beat their wives. This needs to be addressed as a systemic problem, and there are a lot of layers to unpack within this. And I completely agree with what he said, because the fact that movies and TV shows keep getting made where violence towards women is normalized, that is, yes, of course, that is a problem, but who are they, the directors and producers, making these movies for? They're making it for an audience that likes to see this depicted on screen. They're making it for an audience that will go home and repeat this in their own homes. And, you know, this is a problem, because we shouldn't be portraying that this is something, we shouldn't be portraying that violence towards women is normal, or that misogyny or toxic masculinity are the what Indian society is all about. Men in South Asian culture are not taught to regulate their emotions or express anger in a healthy manner. So they often vent out their anger and frustrations on their wives or partners. And then this becomes a cycle. Their wives then beat their children as punishment for bad behavior. This cycle of domestic violence is normalized. Almost everyone that I know of South Asian descent did get abused by their parents. I feel it's imperative to break this pattern of physical abuse and start with the root. How to regulate emotions as a child so that we grow up to be healthy, well-adjusted adults. There are also shows, movies, and advertisements, on the other hand, that send positive messages. One of them is the TV serial created by Bollywood actor Aamir Khan called Satyamev Jayate. This show addresses the social problems that women face, like harassment and inequality in job opportunities. It created awareness of the sexism and violence that women face. And awareness is the first step in eradicating these social evils, I feel. Another movie that touched me on a lot of levels is Queen. It promotes independence and freedom of choice for women. And it debunks the notion that marriage is the ultimate goal for all women, or that marriage is the be-all and end-all for women, and that we as females shouldn't strive for anything other than getting married and raising children. This brings me to the recent controversy in the US when Harrison Butker gave a commencement speech at Benedictine College, and it was within his speech that he denounced abortion rights, Pride Month, COVID-19 lockdowns, and also the tyranny of diversity, equity, and inclusion. He also told women in the audience to embrace the vocation of homemaker. And this is a few lines out of his address. I'm just quoting him now. He said, "I want to speak directly to you, briefly, because I think it is you, the women, who have had the most diabolical lies told to you. How many of you are sitting here now, about to cross the stage, and are thinking about all the promotions and titles you're going to get in your career?" he asked. "Some of you may go on to lead successful careers in the world, but I would venture to guess that the majority of you are most excited about your marriage and the children you will bring into this world." Again, this made me really angry, his speech, because it's concerning that he's spreading the notion that all that women will amount to in their lives are mothers and wives. I am an intersectional feminist. I believe in the freedom of choice. There are many women who want to work, and then there are many women who want to be homemakers and provide for the husbands and families, and then there are women who want to do both, and they can do both. So this notion that women can't have it all, or this stereotyping that's going on right now in a lot of the media and policies of different countries, where they are just, you know, limit, where it's very limiting for women. So it is very concerning that men in 2024 have these belief systems, which are very regressive and extremely sexist. Gender inequality is prevalent at each level of Indian society, but in higher strata, it is less evident, because women who are born into wealthy families have access to education, and they also have the access, and they have the opportunities to study overseas, and as a result, more choice. They can choose different career paths. When? They can also choose when and even if they want to get married. I'm actually an anomaly in South Asian society. It's not common for a woman to be unmarried at 35. The pressure from parents, extended family members, and even random members of society can lead to young men and women being forced into marriage. I remember this one time when I went for a job interview, and the HR lady interviewing me asked me if I was married. And then when I said no, she remarked, "You're 30, it's about time you get married." And I just thought, I thought that was ridiculous, because she doesn't know me. And even for the human resources person, for the HR person at a company, to have the audacity to say something like that to someone that she is interviewing, it's ludicrous. But then this kind of stuff happens a lot it has happened for me a lot. And the next thing I'm going to say is quite an unpopular opinion, but what I've noticed is that women do uphold the patriarchy. I've lost count of the number of times when aunties would ask me why I'm not married at social events. I even recall my waxing lady showing disdain that I was not married. I mean, it was a beauty salon that I went to, and she was just asking me if I was married or not, and then she found it ridiculous that I was in my late 20s but not married. There was another joke that people were saying that for women in South Asia, if you're under the age of 25, they refer to you as single, and if you're over the age of 25, they refer to you as unmarried. And then if you're 30 or above and still not married, they've just, you know, they lose hope for you. They don't even bring it up anymore. Feminism looks different in the East versus the West. In the West, there is a debate about the gender pay wage gap and abortion rights. I've heard women, a lot of Western feminists, treat men as the enemy. Whereas in the East, we have issues like female infanticide, girls working on farms instead of receiving an education, and things like gang rape being normalized. Although there is misogyny within the South Asian community, we treat men as our allies because of the racism subjected to us by external groups. So I think it's very different the way that feminism operates in the West versus the East. And I feel like a lot of the time, mainstream feminism excludes women of color. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it, can you please recommend it to your friends and family, and hop on Instagram and leave comments, reviews, anything that you would like to hear about. If there are any particular topics that you would like me to cover in my next podcast episodes, please do let me know on either Desified, DES.IFIED, or Anu Point of View, that's ANU POINTOFVIEW. Thank you again.